Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about plant medicine. Do you wonder how plants can support you in creating better health? How can you use plants in everyday rituals? Are you curious about the lives of plants and what they might be saying? Learn about plant medicine as we continue our month focusing on hodgepodge. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was inspired by my year of plant medicine. I am finishing up coursework and to get certified. I'm grateful that she's given us up to a year after we finished the course, just with moving and my mom and everything, things are pretty hectic. We are moved. And one of the things I will be thinking about is we're going to put a fence up for some privacy, but I want to start getting some plants done, which will be in spring of 2022. This was the most comprehensive course I've ever taken. I learned a ton and I'm at the beginning, still at the beginning. I'd hoped to interview my teacher because she's amazing, but it just didn't work out. And I will put a link to a year of Gaia in the notes, but it's from the Gaia School of Healing. And her name is Sage Maurer, and it's called A Year of Gaia. And it was such an incredible experience for me. I wanted to share a little bit with you. It opened up a whole new world to me. And, you know, my belief system, I don't know if we're having multiple lives at once or previous lives or whatever, but I have never knew I had this connection with plants until I started. And it's just been such an incredible experience for me. And again, I'm really excited to get a fence put up and start planting some teas. We have deer. I see deer every day, which I think is great. The cats just kind of watch the deer. I don't think they figured out what to do with that. I'm going to be making some elderberry cough syrup this weekend. I'm super excited to do that. I like to use the plants for alternative medicine, strengthen stuff like my brain. And I'm going to go ahead and share this. It might be too odd for people, but it's the truth. So if you remember, I might've had Barrett and Beth on the show and they talk with people who've gone on to the next adventure, and Beth is an animal communicator. Well, I consider myself a plant communicator. I can hear plants talk to me, and that might be nutty. And I'm not alone. I don't think that I have any special gifts. I think people who are really into gardening would probably tell you the same thing who work with plants. I don't think what I'm saying is that crazy, although for some people it might be. And I'm just going to share one little interesting thing. So had this amazing, and I want to plant this when I get settled. I'm hope that it'll go up here because we're in a different zone. So we have these amaranth plants that were phenomenal, and they grew to about 6 feet tall, this brilliant red and purple and just amazing. And so when I was doing the coursework, you had to do some meditation and you had a bunch of homework to do every month. And anyway, it was like, I'm not kidding, 90 degrees, probably at 9 o'clock at night. When we were in Andrew, I'm like, oh, come on, it's humid, it's 9 o'clock, and it's just way too hot for this. And I heard the plant say to me, suck it up, buttercup. And so I sat down and outside and meditated with amaranth. But it was really interesting to me. So I felt this connection in a past life and this kind of warrior life. And I felt like these amaranth were my protectors, right? And they're my warriors. Now, what's interesting is when we were being harassed. So there was one plant, and then after the harassment started, there were a ton right in front of our house, a ton of these amaranth plants. And then I planted some, and I hope they have more that grow at different parts of the house. But it's like we got through the harassments, and then, I mean, there were, I'm not exaggerating, a ton of plants, and then it's like they disappeared. And so I don't know if any are going to show up again, but it was just really interesting because we'd been there a couple of years through the plant cycles. But I felt like they had my back, like they were protecting us. And I really felt that from them. So anyway, the course I took involved folk and ancestral, herbalism, plant spirit medicine, holistic healing, spiritual ecology, and earth ceremony. I mean, it was really phenomenal. And again, I'd hoped to interview Sage or someone else that I was interested in, but just with things going on, it didn't work out. So I was like, how can I best do this? And I want to be really clear, I'm not offering any advice. I have not studied enough. And if you want a consultation, you want to go find someone like Sage, who's been doing this for 20 years. My goal for today is to give you a taste of why you want to explore. Maybe you want to take a plant medicine course. Maybe you want to start drinking teas, doing a ceremony, or do a consultation if you've got some health opportunities going on. So what I did was I put together some questions if I were going to interview someone. So again, don't start to any teas without talking to someone. Some teas can have contradictions with meds you're taking, and I can't stress this enough. You need to talk with someone, do research. And she said a beginner is either 3 to 5 years of study or 5 to 7 years of study. And my point is, you want to hook up with someone who is like Sage, who has a bunch of knowledge. And when doing my coursework, so we had to do plant profiles every month. And so I added a couple things, and one was contradictions, because I wanted to know what do we need to be careful of with when working with the plant, or like, for instance, some, if you are on blood thinners, you wouldn't want to drink that tea. And I added fun facts just because I thought, well, what's some interesting fun facts that I would like to be aware of? So again, this is not offering any advice. This is not offering any suggestions on teas. You want to do with someone who is way beyond my skill level and beyond a beginner, and who knows their stuff. I mean, someone who just breathes it and lives it like Sage. So first, what is plant medicine? Plant medicines are plants whose properties provide medicinal value. Now, sometimes when people are talking about this, they think of Ayushka, I'm pronouncing that right, which alter your consciousness. I'm not going to be talking about today, although we did do a module on conscious altering plants. They are out there. You've seen people talk about doing ceremonies with this. And one of the things that I appreciated about this was I was like, oh, plant medicine. And so much I didn't know. I was just blown away by the information. I feel like I have a connection from the past, but there was definitely this world that opened up to me. Now, good example is elderberry syrup. Many of you, I mean, you go into CVS now, you can buy elderberry syrup. I think they might have it under some different names, or it might include other things besides elderberry. But that's just an example of using the plants, the medicinal property of the elderberries, into cold relief. Now, I want to give you a tip that is really good. So I have the mason jars. Actually, I'll pull one down and show you. So I use little hard, there we go. We can see it there. So I use these big mason jars. So when I put in, and it might be depending on what it is, tablespoon of tea, maybe a couple teaspoons, depending on the strength. And so this is a great way to make your tea get the water super hot. And here's a tip she taught us. You put a knife in the jar. So that way, if you put in the boiling hot water and are steeping the tea, that it doesn't break the glass jar. And she's really funny. She's like, I've broken a lot of glass jars. So that's your tip. You're making a big old batch of tea. So what are some plants that can support you? You have probably heard of a lot of these. Chamomile for anxiety and relaxation. Echinacea for colds, flus, and infections, but it's also something that can be used in wound healing. Feverfew for migraines and arthritis. Ginger for easing nausea and motion sickness. I get horrible motion sickness. That is something that I remember once I was very lucky when I was in college. I worked at the Jordan Pond House in Maine, and I was invited to go on a week-long trip on a yacht, which is the only time I've ever done that, but it was amazing. Her father owned Swiss Airlines or some, it was Swedish something over in that part of the world. And anyway, I mean, I had my own bedroom on a yacht. How's it? I was very grateful. And Maine, where we were, had a natural fjord. And so it was an incredible experience. But at one time we hit bad weather, the boat was going literally back and forth like that, almost tipping over. And I was like, I have nausea. So anyway, ginger is great for that. Ginkgo is something you can use for asthma, bronchitis, fatigue, and tightness. I actually need to check that out because I've got that now. Golden seal for diarrhea and skin and eye irritations, and it can be used as an antiseptic. One of the other things that when we were doing our plant profiles is as an antiseptic, anti-inflammatory, all the properties that they have. It's really interesting. Milk thistle for liver conditions. And many of you have probably heard of St. John's wort as an antidepressant. Valerian root for sleeplessness, and that can help reduce anxiety. Chickweed is good for thyroid, and I wish I'd known that 10 years ago because I would have tried it. So I am going to do a little show and tell now. So if you're listening to the podcast, you might want to go on over to YouTube. So mullein leaf, the bag it came in. So this is something that is good for lungs. My mom, when I was younger, so this is the little leaf powder, a little hard to tell. What I'll do is see if you can see that. And my uncle, they had a beautiful mullein plant in the yard. I'm like, you know, that's plant medicine. And his partner, who sadly, he died, really sad, June 29th. But I believe that herb was there to help my mother cross. So mullein leaf is something that's good for lungs. Here's oat straw. So you can see that. And think of not oatmeal, but oats. And so this is a really good, very thing for just kind of calming and soothing. And it's one of the things she said she always recommends just for people to feel better and for to feel better in general. But again, I'm not recommending anything. Do not take this as advice. I want to be really clear on that. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but this is why plant medicine can support you. It's like anything. You got to pay attention, know the contradictions and all that. On behalf of elderberries, so I'll pull a couple of these out. So this is what I'll be making, cough syrup. Let's see if I can get a good shot. Yeah, kind of hard. So if I can point the camera down, we'll see how. See, there you go. Oh, I figured it out. See, it's kind of sorta. So anyway, those are elderberries. And I'm going to be making, I have to pick up some elderberries. But anyway, that's something to make like a cough syrup. I've made that before and it turned out really well. Let's see. Oh, I want to show you hibiscus. I'm going to tell you, this is wow. And, you know, a lot of times you need sweeteners and teas. But if you get the real, like the plant with everything, it's just, the smell of this. I feel like this is, I wish you could smell this. So anyway, here are the things. See, look at those gorgeous hibiscus flowers. And so this is like my favorite tea to make in the summer. I discovered, apparently they sell this at Starbucks, but there's a great little independent store here in Wheeling. And they have medicine ball, which is hot lemonade, and they put cinnamon and a couple other things. So with all my plant medicine, I'm going to have fun doing that. And this is Gotu Kola, which is for your brain. That's good for brain health. So those are just a couple. I have a bunch of them set up, but those are just some of the things that ways that plant medicine can help you. And again, you'll want to, like, you know, chamomile tea that you can buy in the store. You don't know, you've been through the process. That's why I want to show you the hibiscus leaves. I know you can buy hibiscus tea in the store, but the flowers, wow. I mean, I just wish you could smell that. So there are different options. Mountain Rose Herbs is a place that she recommended to us. They're really great. They're really wonderful and have a ton of stuff. If you name it, they probably have it. Do you wonder about your chakras? Does the energy around you feel stuck, stagnant, or negative? How well are you aware of your intuition and follow its guidance? Have you found yourself taking on other people's feelings, emotions, and more? Ready to clear energetic clutter and have your space, home, mind, and heart feel good? Got Clutter 365 Journal Prompt Energetic supports you in clearing your energy clutter. Free gift with purchase available at reawakenyourbrilliance.com, Amazon, Google Books, and more. So how else can you use plants? This is, again, boy, did I expand. I didn't know. Fresh juice, like I wanted to find fresh chickweed. I wanted to have chickweed juice and did not get to do that this year. So I'm hopeful I'm going to be able to find someone local. I really want to know about West Virginia plants now that I'm here. Make juices. You can make balms. You can make salves. Now, I'm not as good. I've got to work on that. And, you know, one of the things she said, you know, to tell us, like, it's different. You're going to have color if you use fresh plant material. But when you're putting in a little crock pot, you kind of have to watch it and stir it. And so I have definitely messed up some batches of stuff, but it's just something I need to do training. Making vinegars. I made vinegars that were really tasty with plants. You can use in cooking. Like I have lavender, like there's a lavender lemonade cookie, lavender and lemonade. You know, lavender is really great. You can make tinctures. I've made some tinctures. I don't have any of my own. Again, this winter we'll get started on that because tinctures are expensive. Syrups. I made a lavender syrup that turned out pretty well. You can use in rituals and ceremonies. And so, for instance, I'll show you. So some of the things that I got, which are part of the, some frankincense. Dragonfly, part of the plant medicine. This is what I would to just do use. I'd say probably what I say is probably like incense is what I would compare it. Not that would be the best thing. So let's see what else we have here. White copal. And I'll talk a little bit at the end. You want to make sure to try to find something that's ethically harvested and also that isn't about to go extinct. But I'll share about a couple things. Black frankincense. Anyway, so that was one of the other things. I have myrrh in here. And so there were different plant medicines used in ritual that are kind of cool. And I have a little thing like a round thing where you burn them on. The other thing you can use plant medicines for are flower essences, which is what I'm really getting into. And that's what I really want to, I want to get trained, go to Bach and get trained. And that's something that I really enjoyed making. And what I like about them is they're safe to use because when you make the flower essence, you're getting the essence, but you're not having any of the plant material there. So it's just taking the energy out of it is how I describe it. And so I really like doing those. And it's about the energy, right? And changing that and shifting that. And so flower essences are something that I am really excited to do. And I'd hope to, I had everything packed up and just everything for my mom. It had been my hope to do something like that to help her transition to her next adventure. And so hopefully I will work on that for someone I love, I can support them in a way. But anyway, I felt them. I really enjoyed, I want to get better making salves, but the flower essences is one thing that I really connected with. And then you can do very cool things like you start your flower essence on the new moon and add the energy of that. And so there's just, that was probably my most exciting thing to do. But again, like vinegars and syrups and teas and all these ways that you can use it. So it's not just limited to taking tea. How can plants help you emotionally or spiritually? I talked about the amaranth where I felt protected. And that obviously helped me emotionally, whereas I felt attacked and unsafe in my own home. And yet I had this barrier of plants saying, we've got your back, we're protecting you. I mentioned that many of you use St. John's wort for depression. And so I think there are definitely different ways, you know, each plant has its own essence, its own soul, its own way of supporting you to heal. And it's kind of like I've talked about before I think intent is everything. And if you have a special, like there's a plant that you just really relate to, that you feel connection to, I believe, hey, you know, can you support me in this? Ask, why not? I think that that, you know, something that you have a powerful connection to is something that's really important. And you can also, and I've learned not to use the term smudging, so I use the term smoking, but I talk about when you move into a house, you leave the house, smoking, taking artemisia, I think I'm pronouncing it right, or sage, and burning that. And that's supporting, you know, clearing out the energy of others and just having your energy within your place. And so that's something that can help you emotionally or spiritually. They are, so when you drink the tea, you know, you're drinking that essence. And one of the things that we learn to do is, you know, first of all, is to develop a relationship with the plant, give thanks, ask what you can give the plant so that it's this equal exchange of energy. I mean, that completely makes a difference. So you're like, give, 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 and take, take, take. When you develop a relationship, you know, what do you need from me? What do you need as a plant from me? How can I support you? But that during tea and having tea meditation and talking to the tea, and what wisdom do you have for me? And so that maybe if you're struggling with something, it's hear what the plant has to say. And again, like all the plants have different properties. And so say if you're sad and looking for something, or if you're anxious, then a different tea will be able to support you that way. But in addition to the medicinal properties, don't forget that emotional or spiritual component. Building a relationship with plants. And I just mentioned that a moment ago. So plants are beings to me as much as the cats are. You know how I talk about my cats I want to snuggie with. And so this was a new experience and something that I wasn't expecting. It's like, wow, you know, there's this relationship with plants. Now you can't hold, you could kind of hold a plant, I guess, but just that there is this, they are beings, you know, as before, like, oh, plants, it's just incredible. And so I think one of the big takeaways that I'd want to share from what I've learned is that you want to develop a relationship. They are live beings and spirits. So for example, when you're harvesting, don't just cut down, right? Just don't take a hacksaw and go through everything. Thank the plant, ask permission. And again, if you're opening and listening, they're going to respond. And take what you need. Don't take everything. I think, you know, we live in the society, oh, it's all for me, and take it all. Don't take it all. You want the plant to continue to grow and to continue to thrive, and just take what you need. And I guess that I would compare, because it's the same thing. If you know someone who's got a green thumb or has a lot of house plants, and you're like, wow, all your plants are really thriving and they're really great. I'm betting they talk to their plants. I'm betting they have a relationship with their plants, and talk to them. What would they like to share? What has been their experience? And so in addition to all the great things, you know, just something simple about having a little tea ritual every day can make a difference, or making a poultice. My nephew Max is like me with poison ivy, and he looks at it, and he had some huge allergic reaction. I've made him some oat straw soap and a scrub. And I was like, if you get it again, because I wasn't living here, I said, I'll make a poultice to put on your face because he just had some allergic reaction and either poison ivy or allergies or something, but his whole body went crazy. So there are all those things that you can do. And again, I'm not about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, saying only use plants or whatever, but plants can definitely be a nice component to whatever care you're taking. Like I think chickweed, you know, I mentioned about the thyroid. I wish I would have known 10 years ago to see if I could have tried to put chickweed on it and help that, or try a poultice every day to see if we could help the thyroid. So build a relationship with plants and see what you learn and see what they're willing to offer. I also wanted to share with you some books that I like. They are Body into Balance, An Herbal Guide to Holistic Self-Care by Maria Groves. Can't see that because there we go. Anyway, it's a gorgeous book. I like how it's set up. and how she does everything. So that's one that I really like. And don't forget, you can go to Abe's Books, which you use Book Seal. Branding Sweetgrass, which I'm reading now, by Robin Wall Kimmerer, is just fantastic. It's weaving her Native American with stories and plants, and it's just lovely. It's a good read. I'd recommend that. It's easy, but beat up as I'm reading it. This is Newcomb's Wildflower Guide. So, you know, this is, I'm hopefully going to be using, we are going to West Virginia in the cabin at the end of the month, and I'm hopeful to use this as we do some hiking. And then I really love this one, The Gift of Healing Herbs, Plant Medicines and Home Remedies for a Vibrantly Healthy Life by Robin Rose Bennett. And it was in this book that I learned, and I'm hoping to see if maybe we can get a pilot program where I am, but that certain plants have been able to help with drug addiction. And in West Virginia, as in other areas, it's a huge problem. And if I could be any part of supporting people healing in that, I already said to my teacher, hey, if I come up with a plan, can you review it? I found somewhere we could apply for a grant. I said, could you review it to see if everything is good? And she said, yes, you'd do that. And I would just be really excited. But that's the kind of things that she goes into a lot of detail. It's really wonderful. And she also talks about the spirits of each plant. And those are four books I would recommend if you're interested. And then one note I have been sharing is to make sure your plants are ethically harvested. I talked about Mountain Rose Herbs is a great resource to find things. For instance, Palo Santo has become endangered because it's been purchased, and it's mainly Americans that are purchasing it, but it's become endangered and so over harvested. Now I have someone gave me Palo Santo's, gosh, over a decade ago. So I have that, but I will never buy it because of that. A lot of sage, and it's Artemisia, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. You want to find out, is it ethically harvested? Is it endangered? Because some are on the verge of moving in that direction. And as I mentioned earlier, saying smoking instead of smudging, that's what I was taught to be respectful. So just be aware of how they're harvested and that they aren't endangered. Because again, you know, some people don't care and they want it and they're just going to take what they want. They don't care about others, but that's what hopefully you've gotten out of the episode, is developing that relationship with a plant. So those are my thoughts. I would also say, look in your own backyard. 3 months, I think it was, into the course, we were like, go out in your backyard. What are you there? So I discovered wild lettuce. I discovered dandelions only because they weren't in our yard. They're in the empty lot next to us, because you can make, I juice dandelion greens and you can make dandelion teas. Dandelion greens are pretty bitter, but I think, that'd be a good shot for your digestion there. And so just wander in your backyard, around and where you live, and see what you can discover. And, you know, who knows, maybe you'll discover, like me, that you have this relationship with plants. And, you know, even if it's something simple, like going to the store and trying chamomile tea or something, if you're like, see if this can help reduce my anxiety yet. But there is a lot more for me to learn and explore. And I hope that you'll have a little bit of an interest after listening to today's episode. Take actions from today's podcast. Learn more about plants and plant medicine. Consider where you could use plants instead of traditional medicine. Think about how you could use plants in a ceremony. Work with a qualified plant medicine person. Begin to build relationships with plants. On our next episode, we're talking about rest and relaxation. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. Please rate, review, and share us.